being on the CaseNet site, if that's... I couldn't find anything in the statutes or anything to tell me that I couldn't make the decision based on that. I didn't see a guidance on it, so I didn't. I didn't put that in my notes because I didn't see that.
Do we reject this bid, or what do I do with it?
I think you're jumping the gun wrong. We haven't let us...
No.
I was made aware this morning. I didn't know that the formal publisher had sent a letter to the commission, but I didn't get one. I wasn't privy to it. I was I saw it this morning of their objection. And caution us to not go. And as long as the work is done, then I believe it will be paid to the debt, to the state, correct? That's been on the file for a month or more.
April 6th. The email was sent this morning at 5:01 to all three of us.
I did not get it.
I just not got it when I was sitting here going through my
emails. No, I looked. When I went in...
That's fine. I just let you know.
But
Mr. Scarfield just showed me a hard copy of it, so...
It was sent this morning from Mr. Schuber.
I believe, like I said, he showed me a hard copy and all three names are on it. That's what made me look for it.
Uh-huh. I got the hard copy from her purchasing agent, wasn't aware of it, and he said, well, my name was on the email, and I said, can you tell? But my name wasn't on the email that he had, it just had it in the letter reference that I had been sent it. So, did you get an email from Mr. Schuber with my name on it? Can you tell what address it was sent to?
SheilaW@co.taney.mo.us.
I've never had that email address, and I have had emails when I was in a former position from Mr. Schuber. But that email has not been my email address in 19 years.
I did receive it through email.
So he just showed me the hard copy, and that's what made me look for it. But anyways, regardless what... So whatever you guys want to do.
My question would be is what is best for Taney County? Does the collector feel that the recommendation they gave is what is best for Taney County?
Well, I couldn't find anything that said if there is a levy against a business that...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I couldn't find anywhere it was said if there is a levy against a business that makes them ineligible for a bid or if it would cause problems. And if the levy, if we do owe money, then it would go straight to the state instead of to the business. The business, they're aware of this, they still put in a bid.
And that is normal, like in a tax sale also. If it's owed, then the collector pays it.
But the money that I would pay to the newspaper for publication, it would go to the state.
Can I ask one other question? I'm sorry, Don.
It would go to the IRS instead of the state.
To who it's owed.
Mm-hmm. And Don's informed me that this has happened before and they've cleaned up their issues. Just to let you know. It's not the only company that's been doing this, I'm sure.
May I ask, you said you had the certified copies ready to mail for the May 1st mailing?
Yes.
Are there notices printed that go in there telling?
No, we're waiting on your decision. We're ready to put in the name of the newspaper and hit print.
Okay.
Yeah, we have until tomorrow morning to get the letters in.
And you tell me this has happened with other companies?
This one has happened before, but they've gone in.
I make a motion to accept the bid given to by the collector for Taney County Times for the publication for the annual tax sale for 2018.
You can't accept a bid given to us by the collector. You need to award the bid to either party that gave the bid.
I make a motion to award the bid to the Taney County Times upon the recommendation given to us by the Taney County Collector for the annual tax sale publication for 2018.
Do we have a second? I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
I'll notify the vendors and submit the agreement draft to legal.
Bid recommendations for guardrail number 201-803-407.
Yes, Commissioners, thank you. That this is in reference to bid number as just indicated by the presiding commissioner for guardrail for this year. This year, we made a slight change in our bid specifications, taking out the request for a grand total, recognizing that the amounts that we're asking for are important in a specific nature on an as-needed basis. So basically, this bid is asking not just for guardrail parts, it's asking for guardrail installation of those parts as needed. So not having a grand total to compare, I took time to do a percentage increase from last year's bid. Despite sending invitations out to all the qualified guardrail vendors that we're aware of, we only received one response, which is from Highway Safety Solutions. Mr. Huff with Road and Bridge took that response for a full review. And by the way, this was released on March the 24th, opened last week. He took the response for a full and thorough review and is recommending Highway Safety Solutions, given the fact that their increase as a percentage is only 3.5%, totally understandable for the increases we've seen in steel across the international industries there in the course of the last year. So the contract, if awarded as such, would indicate all of the things I just mentioned, as well as the specific prices, the tables per item will be included in that contract draft. So we hereby request a motion be made to award to Highway Safety Solutions over the coming year for guardrail needs. This also has an annual agreement renewal clause in it, as long as the pricing is the same as mutual agreement. I'll turn it over to Mr. Huff for any comments he may have or answers to any questions that you have.
I reviewed all the bid response and everything looked good, and I recommend Highway Safety Solutions, Springfield, Missouri.
Move to award bid number 201-803-407 to Highway Safety Solutions.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll notify the vendor and send a contract draft to legal.
Court orders.
Good morning. This morning I've got a total of four personal property paid abatements, or otherwise known as refunds. At abatement numbers 300242 to 300245. 342 to 344, I'm going to let Mr. Pinnell explain what the situation is on those.
Had an issue on a portable sawmill that was assessed, and the gentleman was in the office, and our notes and our memos talked about putting it on a business account, which is account number 109244, which is in the mix here. But anyhow, he noticed that he was paying for the sawmill on that account and on the 85231 account. So we've had many much conversation about this. I did have some counsel that suggestion, I should say, maybe wasn't an attorney, that the sawmill didn't even need to be assessed. After looking at it and considering it and visit with some others, I really believe the sawmill should be assessed. You might look at it as you would a farm tractor and reassess those. So I've chewed on how we can work through this, and my thought is at the moment, and would value your opinion, to go ahead with these refunds that have been presented to you. And I've calculated up what the last 3 years the assessed value should be. And taking that assessed value and putting it on the 2018 bill, which would be an override value to catch up for those 3 years. And then for 2019, we would put it back to the actual value it should be.
You said there was a business account?
One of our former employees that retired, there's memos in the account that in 2017, he was in the office, the taxpayer, and it was put on a business account. But at the same time, it was not taken off of the regular personal property account, personal property and business personal account.
Right.
And so he noticed, ooh, I'm paying taxes on this thing twice. So we had an error.
That's what brought
it
up.
We moved it over to a business. We should have pulled it off of that. And it probably would never been noticed.
Well, I guess that's my question. So in 17, instead of a refund for, would it not be the reason being double assessed or no?
Well, the way the program works, we can take that business thing off without it bringing it to you,
okay,
like an add-on.
So that had already been corrected?
They've already taken it off.
You've already taken it off?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. The 109-244,
okay.
You don't have anything before you on.
Well, I was just going to say, you don't want to assess it as on the business?
Well, I don't know. I sent the gentleman a letter. Lost track of his phone number. Sent him a letter on the April 25th mentioning I was bringing it to you all and hoped that he would call me, but I have not heard from him. But
do those have to be licensed as far as to travel? Because essentially they're a trailer, are they not?
I didn't look into that. I'm guessing, Brandon, that it's kind of like a wood splitter that you can. It's mobile on wheels. But
not necessarily licensed on a trailer or whatever.
Right. And I went online and looked at him. It was interesting. He stated that it was worth $8,000 when he bought it. And sure enough, when I looked on it online, they were like $7,900 or something. So I was looking at the same thing as what he's got.
You're saying it's mobile on wheels. You pull it behind your truck
on
the trailer?
You may pull it behind, yeah.
Then it'd have to have a tag?
Well,
not
like,
necessarily.
Maybe it's considered farm equipment.
Probably it's just like farm equipment.
Like, say, they have a log splitter, you don't have to have a license. Right. I think, okay, like, smokers, you don't have to have a license. I mean, there are certain things you don't have to have.
Okay. I just assume you hauled them on a trailer then if they didn't have.
It's built in. The trailer is
built in.